We're back. Bit late, I know. No excuse, really. Just a terrible person. Hope you've all had a wonderful Christmas and New Year. There was food. There was films. There was passive-aggressive political discussion over trifle. All the hits, really. Hope you've given your minds a good rest, as we are going to jump right into the strange and the morbid. I can't think of a better way to start a year, personally. Okay, so today we are going to be looking into a case that is pretty new to me, one I haven't heard loads of people talk about before, and that is the case of Richard Dadd. Richard Dadd. I'm gonna get it out of the way now. Nickname would be Dick Dad. Dick Father. Maybe it's just me, but anytime I meet a Richard, I think that the nickname would be Dick and see if it makes it funny with their last name. If you're anything like me, my condolences, by the way, you'd have got to the same place. So, with Dick Dad done and dusted, let's crack on. Richard Dadd was born in Chatham, Kent, on 1st of August 1817, the son of a chemist and a shipwright's daughter. He went to school at King's School, Rochester, where he quickly showed that he was decent at drawing and had an artsy inclination. Don't know what it was like back then, but he sounds like the kind of kid at my school who'd be shoved in the library with some pencils and hidden at parents' evenings whilst the child-shaped blocks of rugby-playing masonry were lorded over. Not bitter or anything. Me and the librarian had some good banter. At age 20, he was inducted into the Royal Academy of Art, and a few years later, he won the Medal for Life Drawing in 1840. His best-known early works include illustrations for the Book of British Ballads in 1842 and a frontispiece for the Kentish Colonel. In July 1842, he was selected by former Mayor of Newport, Sir Thomas Phillips, to accompany him to gallivant through Europe to Greece, Turkey, Syria and Egypt, the OG gap year. Phillips wanted to capture the sights, peoples and cultures they encountered, so he enlisted Dadd to capture this along the way. The journey would prove to be harsh and arduous, with long stretches in blazing sun acting as a real challenge to Dadd. He had little time to produce illustrations, but the ones he did are incredibly detailed and show his knack for the craft. I'll post them on the gram for you to check out if you're interested. In December of that year, they would reach Egypt and travel up the Nile. This leg of the journey would tragically go on to form the origin of Dadd's mental decline and later horrific crimes, which we'll get into. You didn't think I'd change course and start an art podcast, did you? No, don't be silly. That's 2023. On the waters of the Nile, Dadd underwent a dramatic personality shift. Being noted as gentle and good-natured, he became violent and aggressive. Along with this, he came across many archaeological sites such as the pyramids and learned a lot about the ancient times and mystic gods that the people worshipped. Eventually, he became convinced that he was under the influence and guidance of Egyptian god Osiris. His strange behaviour was put down to sunstroke, and in 1843 he would abandon Phillips in Paris and return to England. Upon his return, his family immediately noticed Richard was not like himself. They consulted a physician and they concluded he was not of sound mind. Unfortunately, he was not placed in care or given assistance in a long-term sense, and he convinced his father that all he needed was some fresh air and a little jaunt to the country. They went to a village called Cobham, and Dadd would, quote, unburden his mind of his father. His obsession with Osiris continued, and one particular detail of the deity's story became horrifically relevant. Osiris was believed to have been killed and dismembered by his own brother. As we have already touched on, Dadd believed himself to be under the control of Osiris. On August 28, 1843, at a chalk pit named Paddock Hole, Richard Dadd brutally murdered and dismembered his own father with a razor. He believed his father was the devil in disguise, and when combined with his delusion that he was a vessel for an Egyptian god, it led to this tragic crime. Paddock's Hole was renamed Dadd's Hole, which is, you know, quite weird. I guess maybe it's named after the victim, but it just seems strange to memorialise this horrific event by renaming the location it happened. Dadd fled back to France, apparently still even wearing the bloodied clothes he wore to slay his father. He was not suspected of murder for a while until his brother was notified of the attack. When Dadd's apartment was searched, police found strange art depicting violent scenes and even lists of people he was compelled to harm. Portraits were found of friends and acquaintances, each with their throat cut. In Paris, Dad would attempt to kill again. He attacked a fellow carriage passenger with a razor, but thankfully they fought back and overpowered him. When he was arrested, Dad immediately identified himself and even confessed to the murder of his father. He was tried for murder in July 1844 and was sent to the infamous Bethlehem Royal Hospital in Bromley, South East London. A little idea of what this place was like, we actually get the word Bedlam from this place, meaning chaos and confusion. Bedlam was a nickname given to the hospital. Dad was just 27 at the time of his admittance, only a bit older than me, and all of those things happened to him. He was diagnosed with bipolar disorder and was kept in a special, sex-segregated branch of the hospital, which was used as secure containment for, quote, criminal lunatics. This diagnosis is debatable, as others say it was likely paranoid schizophrenia. Two of his siblings also suffered with this condition. Bethlehem was renowned for being controversial, along with many similar institutions at the time. Patients' liberties were regularly flouted, and treatment was abhorrent. This being said, doctors did actually encourage Dad to continue painting, and his work and story began making a buzz in the London art scene. Due to being confined to the hospital, Dad had to work from memory and imagination. This potentially explains how he came to start envisaging the surreal landscapes he would become most well known for. During the 1850s, Dad would toil away on perhaps his most famous and enduring work, The Fairy Fellow's Masterstroke. Now, this is going to sound quite blunt and boneheaded, but I've never really been one for art. Classical art, anyways, like paintings and that. I'll look at them for a minute and be like, yeah, that's not bad, or nah, I'd keep the receipt, and then move on. However, this painting even had me completely enraptured. It's so detailed, and I feel like you can look at it for ages and still pick up new things. It's sort of equally whimsical and disquieting at the same time. I will post on the gram once again, or give it a Google and have a gander. The work took almost a decade to, let's say, complete. I say with a slight disclaimer, as the work was never actually finished. Parts of the painting remain blank even today. Give us a crayon, mate. I'll sort it out. I stay in the lines and everything. It's currently on display in the Tate in London, so I've probably just incriminated myself, but yeah. Despite this incomplete nature, as I said, the painting is really stunning and incredibly detailed. A particularly poignant and talked about detail of the piece is an old man in the centre who sits among the surreal surroundings. He looks scared and nervous, another figure with an axe looming in front of him. Now, I personally reckon this might be a self-portrait and a representation of Dad himself. The closeness of the axeman and the trepidation on the old man's face with the confusing surroundings just make me think that, yeah, it's probably a self-representation of him and how he sees the world around him. Dad was moved to another sterling representation of mental health treatment facilities in Broadmoor Hospital. He continued to work and produced watercolours. One notable example is a work of a Greek woman that was likely inspired by his travels in earlier years. Sadly, this would be one of his final works. During the 1880s, Broadmoor was having a rotter of a time with a hefty typhoid outbreak. Many other similar institutions experienced a similar problem. On the 7th of January 1886, Dad would pass away from extensive disease of the lungs. He was 68 years old. Many of his works are still on display at the hospital. His legacy has been cemented with other artists and individuals being inspired and referencing his work. Rock band Queen would release a song in 1974 called The Fairy Fellow's Masterstroke, with lyrics referencing Dad and the work itself. Queen. I'm sure someone's heard of them. In 1987, a long-lost painting by Dad found its way onto BBC's Antiques Roadshow. It was produced whilst he was still incarcerated and depicted a scene of the Dead Sea, once again likely inspired by his travels. It was sold to the British Museum for £100,000. Author Terry Pratchett also references the painting in his book The Wee Free Men. Pratchett believed that if Dad lived in a time where mental health issues were better understood, he would have not have committed a crime and he would have fared far better with appropriate treatment. Murder is always shocking and tragic, especially when it's so brutal, such as the case like this, but it's even more so when it was likely preventable and the perpetrator just needed better care and maybe their condition to be a bit better understood. Richard Dadd was a gifted artist with a deeply troubled mind. It's interesting to ponder the connection these things often have. So there we have it. Thank you for joining me for another journey. We should be getting back to the regular weekly upload now, but there's been a few things going on as we're in the process of moving some stuff about in the flat and redecorating in Casa de Jondo. That might be why the audio sounds a bit different, if it does. Yeah, sorry about that. We'll be trying to get back to normal soon. Also had an absolute pickle with tech and I needed to get a new laptop. Lost all of the pages of the script I was working on too. Wasn't too many, luckily, but yeah, nice way to kick off 2022. If you fancy updates on the show, do follow at John Doe & Co Pod on Insta and Twitter and TikTok if you're proper hip. Rate, review and subscribe on your podcasting app. Patreon is still about at patreon.com/JohnDoeAndCoPod. It's mainly about supporting the show right now, but some cool bonuses coming soon as well as early access. Feel free to DM any suggestions or what you'd like to see as always. I really want to hear more from all of you. Please do reach out. I can see a few of you regular listeners in Germany. How's it going? Bloody love Germany, one of my favourite places I've ever been. Right, where are we off to next? We're looking into another murder, shocker. Another murder, but one that also has the nasty accolade of having a wrongful conviction tied to it as well. Lovely. Episode 11, join me for the story of the hurricane, the incarceration of Reuben Carter. Bob Dylan fans might be familiar. Hope to see you there. See you in a bit. Thanks for being such good company.